God is great, greatly to be praised. God is great, and He's greatly to be praised. But thankfully, He's also good. He's not just great. Quiet, just think of this. He's not just great, He's also good. If He were great but not good, that wouldn't be good. If He were good but not great, then He couldn't accomplish anything. So He has to be both. And the Bible literally says, say every day God is good, say every day God is great. It says both of those in the book of Psalms. So if we repeat those every day by faith, don't have to understand why, don't have to agree to it, just do it, you will be pleasing in God's sight. It's pleasing in God's sight that you do it by faith and not by feeling, not by understanding, not by willpower. Doesn't matter that you don't want to do it. Doesn't matter that you don't understand it. Doesn't matter that you don't feel like doing it. Only matters that you do it in faith. Therefore, it makes it easy on us. You just simply do it. Don't worry about whether it was done perfectly or imperfectly. You did it by faith. That makes it perfect. Because you see, when you say God is great, you're just repeating what Jesus said. Yes. When you say God is good, you're just repeating what God Himself said. And that's what pleases Him, is that He did it. He isn't counting your doing it. He is not counting your doing it as original. He's counting your doing it as entering in to His rest. Those works were done before the foundation of the world when Jesus spoke them on your behalf. Therefore, when you say them, you don't get credit. What He wants is a servant, a steward, someone on earth that will be like Him and talk like Him and walk like Him. So don't be psychological. Don't worry about your personal, how you feel, think, and want, and so on and so forth. Just ignore that. Just do it. It pleases God. Anything else does not please God. If you make an effort to be sincere or to have a good understanding, He doesn't want that. Just do what He says. You see, a servant doesn't have time to worry about why he's doing what he's doing. The master said it. It's over. The master did it. I do it. Whatever he's telling me to do, I'm just going to do it. So we love people not because we feel it. We often don't. Not because we want to do them some good. It's not about you. It's about you being God's steward. He created you to be a servant, a slave, a steward, not doing your own will, not doing your own words, not doing your own deeds, not doing anything of yourself. He doesn't want you. Your glory is not being you. Your glory is glorifying the Father, showing that you're His Son. That's what a steward is on earth. That's why He created you. So we're not interested in how you feel. Well, could I say what I feel? No, we don't. We don't really want to know. You're not a servant. Now you've just done an evil work because you accused God of not speaking right, of not acting right, of not performing everything. No, God does everything. I don't believe any man has ever done anything. Everything that we do apart from Him is nothing. Vain, hypocritical, lying, deceitful. It's just pride. It's totally pride. When you build a house without God, you did it in pride. If you build your life, you build your family, you build your business, you build your income, whatever you're doing, and Jesus didn't do it first, before the foundation of the earth, it's not pleasing in His sight. So how do you please God? You don't. You just do what He says, say what He says, just seek Him when you don't know what to do. He'll take all the responsibility. If He didn't make it clear, He'll make it clear. Just say, God, could you be clear? Could you be clear on that? He just likes it that you seek Him. You're a child. Think of raising children. We raise children to be like us. And since we're not a good example, we raise children to be Christ-like. Right? Why it's like that? You tell them to say something, you say it. You tell him not to say something, he won't. Well, may not be so good on that part, right? But he knows how to say the right thing at the right time in the right place because he watched his parents. He listened to his parents. And in this case, we learn to follow God. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 4.
Wow.
Yeah, we're done with 3. Finish 3 off. Galatians 4, we have to move along, otherwise we won't get done by Christmas. All right. Galatians 4, I could talk forever about 1, 2, and 3, easy, because there's so much there. Let me just, again, because I'm a teacher, I'm not a get-through-the-Bible person. You can start anywhere in this Bible, and it'll be the same. But there are some things in the New Covenant that were not as clear in the Old Covenant. They were there, and they were fully said, but they were secret, known to God. But in the New Covenant, the secrets are all revealed. So when God gives you a revelation, that's it. So he can't reveal something and not take care of it himself. Now, if God reveals something for you to do, that actually means for you to enter into his finished work. That's what it means. When he shows you a sin in your life, he's not really showing you a sin for you to do something. He's showing you, this is what I paid for on the cross, and it's what I'm working on right now in you. Just, if you don't stop me, I'll go ahead. You can stop him. Say, well, I don't want to follow you today. I want to be angry. I want to be self-pitying. I want to be aggressive. I want to be mean and nasty. I want to be whatever. He won't stop you from doing that. But you are robbing yourself of happiness, joy, and peace for which he created you. There's nothing happier than worshiping God and loving your neighbor as yourself. Now, you're not loving your neighbor more than yourself. You're loving your neighbor as yourself. So, you know, don't forget the poor. Why? Because you love your neighbor. That's why. Why? Because God loves the neighbor. Did you know that God loves all his children equally? And if one of them is missing from the table, you don't start. You know, where's Alice? I don't know. Let's eat. You know, we don't do it that way. You wait till everybody's sitting down. Because all the children, whether they're 2 or 26, it doesn't make any difference. They're your family. And so it's the same here. We wait till we have, we don't just have church here. We wait till we have at least 2.
It's true.
Where 2 or 3 are gathered, there I am. So that's church. So if we have 2, Wyatt, just you and me, that'd be it. That would make a church. If we have just 2, that's it. But we will not start without 2. We have to have at least 2. Well, that's what Jesus said. So that's what we do. So let me count today. 1, 2. We got more than 2. We probably have more than 3. And because of that, we can have church. Hey, brother, you drove all the way today in the rain, probably. Is it raining?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't raining where I was.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's good. Yeah. Yeah, well, it poured here. it was trouble driving. You know, half of the time coming here, it's just, coming down hard.
Jim could barely drive 60, which is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, you couldn't, because the water was so deep, and the cars were going so slow. I mean, it was just... I didn't even sin today. I didn't even sin to get here. I did not.
You tried, though, didn't you?
I did. I wanted very much to. For your sake, of course. Yeah. For your sake. I wouldn't just sin for no reason. All right. Chapter 4 starts out in a funny way. Remember Paul's main point. The Jewish people never did a work that was perfect because they tried. When you try, it's not going to be perfect. Now, if they had done nothing, that would have been better. So he says, all your works filthy. All your works are unclean. What he's saying is, you did a work apart from me. So, apart from me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. The work that you just did wasn't a work at all. I don't even count it. I can't even pay you a wage for it. Because you didn't do anything. Well, no, we did something good. Well, man at his best state, in his own eyes, of course, is filthy to God. It's completely vain, empty, hypocritical, lying, deceptive, not pleasing in God's sight. So God will not accept it. So no one goes to heaven by their works. So Paul's main point is, after you become a Christian, don't fall back into keeping festivals and keeping weeks and keeping days and months and, you know, all that religious stuff. Don't go back to wearing certain kind of clothes and saying certain words and so on and so forth. Just say what I say. Just do what I do. Don't add anything or subtract anything. So this Christian walk is very easy. You just follow your parent, God, the creator of the universe, the creator of you. He's the Lord of the nations. And most nations have just gone their own way. Our nation and this state, we didn't start without God. We feared God. So we put in his name, in the name of the Lord. Well, that's good. That you at least had the fear of the Lord to put down his name. But other countries didn't do it like that. They did not do it like that. Now, the Muslims try to do that, but the problem with the Muslim religion and Allah is that they're trying to do everything in Allah's name, but they're trying. Allah doesn't do it for them. Allah doesn't keep promises. Allah makes his conditional. If you do that, then I'll do that. Ah, well, that's kind of like the Moses thing. If you do, then I'll do. If you do good things, I'll bless you. If you do bad things, you'll be under a curse. Well, you know, that disagrees with what I just told you. And Paul, who was one of the biggest doers of the Jewish law, and I'll just tell you in one word, circumcision. Just take circumcision. To circumcise someone means to go around the skin, the foreskin, and then cut it off, and there'll be blood. It'll be a bloody affair. So that's an offering to God. God, I'm giving you something valuable here. I'm giving you something valuable. Ow, it hurts. That shows I meant it. I'm serious here. No, God hates that. So circumcision, even though he winked at it in the Old Testament, circumcision, when you think it's a work you've done for God, circumcise your child, circumcise yourself, doesn't matter. It's not pleasing in God's sight anymore since Jesus. So Paul's problem with the early church is, look, I learned something that under the law, you can't please God. In other words, trying to do a law or thinking you should or feeling guilty that you didn't or being condemned under a law, that's all wrong. You have the wrong picture of God. That is not the true and living God. And I didn't know that. In fact, I was one of the biggest ones to try to kill the Christians and get rid of them as a good act of God. That was a good act. Cut their heads off, chop them up, you know, hang them, take them to jail, steal all their stuff, whatever, break up their meetings. I now know there's good news. I've been set free. Paul said, I'm free, and my mission now is not to the Jews. That's Peter. Peter got that mission. My apostolic calling, my entrustment, the mission, the commission, the commitment to me was, I'm going to commit this thing, bring in the Gentiles. Get the Gentiles in here. But don't make them keep the law first. Because the Judaizers, including Peter, James, and John, they were into, okay, let's be Christians, but also let's get circumcised first. Let's get everybody to be a good Jew first. And then we'll be good Christians. And Paul said, no, I'm bringing them straight in. They don't have to go through Judaism to get here. They don't have to first do a good work, and then after that, they can go by faith. Paul said, no, faith alone. Only faith. So pistis is the Greek word for faith, and what it means is, I have total dependence on God taking care of everything. That's how God made you. Did you know that when he made you in the beginning, and when you bring a child home, that child, that grandchild, is totally, 100% dependent upon the parent or the grandparent or the babysitter or whoever it is to take care of them. They don't have any will or mind or anything of their own. That's pleasing to God. The little children then just, they're going to learn your language, whatever it is. They're going to learn to get angry the way you do. They'll learn to smile if you smile. I mean, whatever you do, they're going to learn that. And that's not only the way God is, that's the way people are when they're little. That's why he said, unless you become like a little child, you're not going to enter into the kingdom of God. He's not saying that as a threat. He's saying that is, fear me enough to believe what I just said. It's, I don't want your good works. I want to do everything. God himself will provide the lamb that you owe. God himself will make the offering you could make, Cain and Abel. Cain made a beautiful offering of all kinds of things that he had grown. Abel came with a lamb and is all bloody and it's a mess. And he didn't present it well at all. But God accepted his offering and he rejected Cain's offering. But Cain's was beautiful. I'm sure he had a golden plate underneath it and probably, you know, silver spoons or something or other. But, I mean, I'm sure he made it up nice with the pineapple here and the bananas here and the apples and whatever he grew. It was all on there and it was neatly done. Probably had bows around it and everything. It was precious in God's sight. No, God thought it was awful. Why? Because God reads the heart. And he saw that Abel's heart was, Lord, I hope you accept this. I'm totally dependent on you. So Abel had faith. Cain didn't need it. He went, look at my brother's offering. I kept, little brother, it stinks. It stinks. God's not going to like that at all. Well, I'm just doing the best I can. I hope God will receive it. I'm totally dependent upon his mercy and grace and power to help it out. I know it's a bloody mess. I know it looks horrible. I didn't even wipe all the blood off myself. I'm sorry. He said, well, you have to please God by doing your best. You call that your best? It's all I had. So we were supposed to, you know, come and give your best, and that's the best I had. But I have faith that God will receive me. Mom and Dad like me. I have faith that God will be like that. Well, faith of Abel after he was slaughtered by his brother. Anybody who lives under a law will slaughter his neighbor. Did you hear what I just said? If you live under a law, you will slaughter people who don't. You will judge people who don't. You will be superior to them. If you're under a law, you are a terrorist. I'm just hoping you're listening to what I'm saying. I'm speaking on different levels here. I'm just telling you something. Laws lead to terror. Your own from guilt or pride, which then produces terror, that God may not want your pride to go along with it. Well, Cain was proud. He thought, not only does God like it, I think it's awesome. Look at mine. Look at yours. Look at that. And poor Abel, all he had was faith in God. He just totally depended on God. He had nothing going for him. But his heart was pure because it had faith in it. But the other man's heart was full of pride, full of anger. If his brother had brought a nicer one, oh, he would have been angry. I tell you what, the fraternity will kick you out. The sorority will make sure you're not part of it. You don't outdo the boss. You don't outdo your older brother. You don't get more honor than the one that's older. Well, God doesn't accept any of that. How many know that Jesus came humble, but he wasn't proud about his humility? Do you know that if you're a Christian and you're humble, you feel superior to other Christians that are trying also to be humble, but not as humble as you are? Robert and I used to call each other every morning, and then the first words out of his mouth is, hey, praise the Lord. Mine was, yeah, hallelujah, praise God. I was up at 2. Robert said, I stayed up all night. You know, so it's like, I never could beat him. I don't care what I said. He was always, I didn't even go to bed. I was seeking God all night. And I was just happy that I got up before 7 or something. But it could trump me every time. And And it's still that way. If we met each other today and called each other, that's the way it would be. Robert, I read the whole Bible last night. Yep. You know what? I wrote the thing by hand. He would come up with something. He will not be outdone. So humility is a matter of pride. I'm just telling you. And it's fun. It's fun because God likes to have good reports like that. But in the end, you better laugh at yourself. Because, you see, the bad teaching today, called faith teaching, is I had faith and look, I got well. I had faith and look, I have a Mercedes. You only have a Volkswagen. I had faith of how to rebuke a brother and I did it just the way I was supposed to do. And that kind of faith is a work that you do. Because that's a commodity that you have. The reason you didn't get well, you didn't have faith. And so it's something you failed to do or did, and did it better than others. It's not a good teaching. Why? Because you have to become Jewish first. You have to circumcise before. So the gospel comes after the law in that kind of teaching. Where it's, well, you didn't know how to do it. You should have listened to my third tape. Tape number 3. You need to listen to that. And so, did you get one of my handkerchiefs? Did you get the handkerchief that I sent out for $4? You should have got that. Lay it on your mother-in-law or whatever. And the reason you didn't do it is because you didn't do it the way I said to do. Those laws and rules, no matter how noble they sound, are actually, I don't want to say it because those are brothers. They're brothers. But I'm just telling you, their gospel is wrong. It's not good news. Because if you don't have the faith, you're out. They're counting it as an inward thing, not as God, you depending on God to do everything which he's already done. And so they can't enter into the finished work. They have to finish the work God began. And so you know what they're doing? They're correcting the Calvinist view that God does everything and man does nothing. Okay, that's a wrong view. Of course you do something. Of course, after the gospel, there are works that flow from it, fruit that comes out of it, love that flows forth. Well, that's all accurate because you're entering into the work that he who lives in you is doing through you, the branch.
Yeah.
But the branch is not the source. It's only the means. It's only the means to an end. And so that's the good news. The bad news is that God does everything and you don't do anything, and he sent you to hell and you to heaven. That's not good teaching. So the faith teaching tried to correct that by saying, we have the authority of Christ to do anything. And whatever we do on earth, he'll confirm in heaven. That was a misunderstanding of how it works. The Greek is very clear. In the Greek it says, those things already having been done in heaven, then you do on earth. In other words, you enter into what's already having been said or done. Well, that it does not come across in the English. It sounds like if you do something, God will confirm it. Uh-uh. It's already having been done in heaven, then you say yes or you say no, whatever. And so God wants you to relax. God wants you to be at peace. And when Peter came with the Judaizers, in people from James, for example, they were still keeping the Jewish law because their ministry was to the Jews. And so they were wearing the hats and the little things and going on the festivals and so on because they were trying to reach the Jewish people. I tell you what, Paul said, no, I go and refute them. And Peter, you are condemned for what you're doing. You're a hypocrite. When James is not around, you eat with the Gentiles. But when he comes, you eat with the Jews and separate from the Gentiles. There is the putting the gospel after the law. No. So he rebuked him in front of the others. He rebuked them all. And that group of men then sought God and they then changed. Why? Because you have to get the gospel and then the law, God's already taken care of. And then he fulfills everything. How many know it doesn't look like that? It doesn't feel like that. I don't care. Just trust God. You're totally dependent on God. You don't have any power over him. You can't say, God, you said that. Now you got to do it. You can't make it. How many know God will not do what you said? Well, I've been good as I can be. So you owe me. God does not operate that way. How many know that is a great way to operate? Everybody operates that way as wrong. That's what this book is all about. This book is all about the fact that don't start out in the spirit and then drop back into works or into law or into guilt or into condemnation. Now, Paul wasn't rebuking Peter personally that you're not going to heaven. He was rebuking him for having two gospels. The false gospel, which is do the law first, get circumcised first, then you become a Christian second. No. Circumcision means to cut away, to cut around. And then once that's gone, now you can be a good Christian because you're clean under the law. Now you can do the gospel. No, it's the opposite. You don't need to do the law. Jesus Christ died on the cross. That was okay up until Jesus. Now that Jesus has come, he is your righteousness. He did it for you. So you don't have to stop doing this sin and start doing that good thing. Jesus already did that. Now the only thing you need is his power. You got his mercy. Now you need his power. You got his mercy. You know what? As soon as you are merciful, you know what? You're born again. You're called his son, his daughter, his child. Boom. He can't hold back the Holy Spirit. He can't say, well, you haven't proven yourself yet by being circumcised. You didn't do something or you didn't stop doing something. As long as you do that, I can't give you the Holy Spirit. No, no, no. The moment you're a son, you inherit everything. The moment you're a son, you are completely able to say to him, God, I want the whole Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit who will cleanse me. Not only forgive me, cleanse me. Not only forgive me, cleanse me. Clean me up. Perfect me. Not by works of the law. Totally by faith. That's the message of this book. And so the whole Christian church today is still trying to be good. It's trying to behave. Trying to stop misbehaving. How many here, and don't raise your hand, but how many here are still hoping to be better than you were last week or better than somebody else is acting? Or, you know, thank God I came to church at least. And a lot of them are not here, you know, and so on. Don't worry about that. It isn't coming to church or not coming to church that matters. The only thing that matters is whether God keeps his promise. So it isn't the omnipotence of your faith, the power of your faith. It's not the power of your faith God's after. Your faith is in his faithfulness to keep his own promise on your behalf. And there's nothing you can do to make him do it. But you just have that confidence. You're fully persuaded that God is able to do whatever he said. And that he will do it. I'm certain of it. And Paul was certain that God had entrusted him with the work of the gospel, the good news, the truth of the gospel to the Gentiles, just as Peter was entrusted and God was working through Peter to reach the Jews. But now he's saying, hey, don't get it mixed up, Peter, when you're with the Gentiles one way, with the Jews the other way. No, this needs to be unmixed, unconfused. Don't mix two things together that don't fit. Law and gospel don't go together. The law is only to convict of sin. But once you're a believer, and that's the only way you can be free, and that's the only way you can be free, and that's the only way you can be free, because none of your works are perfect. You will always have a little pride in it, or a little depression in it, or, you know, something or other. You'll mix it. So never look at how you are. Only look at what he said, what he promised, what he did, and what he's still doing. He said, I promise, I swear an oath to you, the good work I began in you, I will, amen, surely complete it. Don't worry about it. Well, I don't see it. You don't need to see it. Well, I don't see hardly anything. And other people are saying that too. Yeah, I know. Ignore it. Just go by my promise. I don't know about that. I wish you'd come through once in a while. I mean, couldn't I see something? See, that's a beggar talking. You're a child. You just say, hey, you know what, Lord? I don't care how it works. I know you're for me. I'm just going to praise God anyway. When I became a Christian, which I was a pastor long before I was a Christian, when I became a Christian, it took me 3 years to get my first lesson down. It took me 3 years. I remember I said, God, I'm just going to, this is bad theology, by the way. I opened the Bible, just put my finger somewhere, and I said, I'm just going to open the Bible, put my finger somewhere, whatever it is, that's what I'm going to stick to until you do it. And I don't care how long it takes. I literally said that. And so I picked one, and it said, rejoice in the Lord always, or something like that. It's not what it said, but it was something like that. Rejoice in the Lord always. So I picked that, and I went, that's going to be easy. I'm already happy-go-lucky. I'm already, you know, kind of an optimist kind of thing and so on and so forth. That'll be easy. That killed me every single day because I would wake up every day feeling miserable and he said, rejoice. And I say, okay, thank God I'm miserable. You know, thank God you love me as a miserable thinking person even though I'm not miserable. So on. And I just, every single day and nothing happened and nothing happened and nothing happened and nothing happened and nothing happened. And I said, God, have I got any more sin? We've just begun. You know, so every day all I'm doing is confessing sin. I'm not doing anything, but I'm rejoicing over it. Thank God you showed me that sin. Go and work on it, Jesus. Go get it done, you know. And nothing happened, and nothing happened, and nothing happened, and nothing happened, and nothing happened. I don't know if you've tested God out, but he just, right early, doesn't mean the same thing to him as it meant to me. I thought, God, you need to come through here. I'm sowing and sowing and sowing and reaping nothing and reaping nothing. You know, but what I rejoice in that. Oh, I rejoice in that. You are great and you are good and you are awesome. And I learned just to say the Bible words and never say my own thoughts, even though that was the first half of my sentence. God, ain't working. Not doing good. This thing is not working. I don't believe in it. I've gone to meetings, I've met the right people, I've read the right books, I'm reading the Hebrew and the Greek, and I'm doing all this stuff, and it ain't working at all. And he said, just keep praising me. Okay, I praise you for that, Lord. Just wasting my time. Don't you think I should go into business maybe, or do something else, which I'd probably enjoy a lot more? Don't you think I'm not really a pastor? I mean, I am the worst pastor ever has been. Even Marjo, and you know, I could think of some others, you know. I'm worse because I had all this good schooling and it's gone for nothing. It's a waste. And people are thinking that, and I'm thinking they're right, you know. So, but I rejoice in that. So praise God. So I would have all this honesty stuff, half of the sentence, and then the next half would be, but I praise God. I'm a new man in Christ. I'm a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. And I would do that every single day, constantly. And you know what? After 3 years, I got it. All of a sudden, I saw it. And I knew I'd be free forever. Forever. I knew I would never again be in fear. I would never again be worried. I knew that I knew that I knew I was His beloved. It wasn't because of some miracle. It was because God spoke to me, and I knew it was God. And that's all I needed. I didn't need any more evidence. And from that day, Peggy can tell you, I have been incredibly happy. Amen. I've been incredibly happy. Why? Because I knew, hey, I don't need to put God to the test. I don't need to test Him. Though one time I did. I remember one time I was sick. And I was going, God, I'm sick. And that I don't think I'm supposed to be sick. I don't think You put this sickness on me. I think it's some sin of mine or something. So could You please show me the sin? And if You don't, I'm going to blame You. And I'm gonna get you too. I'm gonna tell on you. So I just wanted you to know that little threat I had there to force you in this deal. But I am never gonna again say God is good and all that stuff that I've been saying, unless you. How can I believe heavenly things? I know I'm going to heaven, but I can't even believe them for earthly things. My body is falling apart. Has anybody ever had that? Well, your body just wasn't cooperating and working right, and so. I'm going to put this pencil down, and when I do, it's forever with me. You either do it or you don't do it. And if you do it, I'll praise you. And if you don't do it, I'm going to tell on you. I am. I'm going to say to anybody whenever they say, yeah, you just ask God and He'll do it, I'll just say to them, no, He doesn't. And I will argue with them. Yeah, so it's one way or the other. This minister thing is not working out. I'm willing to say it all, but I want a little bit of fruit here right now. So heal me miraculously. I don't have any right to say this. I don't have a leg to stand on, but I'm doing it anyway. So there you have it. Now I mean business. So I put it down, and Kirsten was just, I don't know, two or something. She was in her crib. And I went back, and she was crying. And I put it down, and I said, and the second I put this down, you better act. But she was crying, so I put the pencil down, and I was walking down the hall, and this thought came into my mind. How can you believe God for eternal life, and yet you can't even trust Him on a daily basis to do anything? And that is not right. And I thought about that. Well, anyway, I had to go and find out what was wrong with Kirsten. So I was reaching down, and as I reached down, I felt His fingers just go down my back and completely heal me in one instant.
Wow.
Now, I had experienced that under Catherine Coleman earlier as a miracle, and I thought, yeah, this is good stuff. I like this. God just does stuff. When you're a new believer, he often gives you a lot of freebies. And it was working out good, you know. But now that I was more mature, it wasn't working out that good. And I was having to have too much faith in something happening, and it didn't come through. But anyway, as I reached down, those fingers just went down my spine, exactly the same as it happened before. And I was instantly healed. And I knew that I knew that I knew that never again will I doubt God. And from now on, I don't need to see anything else. I will always trust you, Lord, and praise you from this moment on. That was a life changer. And it's personal. That I wanted a personal God, not just a write down in the Bible type of God that you believe in it, but you don't see it too often. How many know that we need miracles, signs, and wonders?
Yes.
And not to replace faith, but to say that's what faith, it does stuff. I don't just do stuff and give God the credit. I want God to do stuff, and he's going to get all the glory for it. But I'd like a few things there. Since he called me into the ministry, I either need to quit this business and do something else, or I need to follow God with all my heart and soul and strength, and my neighbor as myself. And I'm needing a little bit of encouragement here, God. And he did. And when he did, I knew, that's it. Never again will you hear me gripe, complain, whatever. I will never be anxious again. Paul writes the same thing. Instead of circumcision, where I cut or somebody else cuts me, let God do the circumcision. Let God cut his own son. Let God make his own offering, his own atonement. God make his own, whatever sacrifice he wants. Let him do it for me, and me do nothing for him. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. You don't owe God anything. You do not owe anything to God. You don't even owe him worship. You don't owe him. You don't owe it to him. You know what you owe to God? Nothing. You don't owe a debt to God. Jesus already paid for that. Now, just ask for the Holy Ghost, which I had done. And then, you know, I want everything to flow out and do whatever, because it's easy now. I'm entering into his rest. But since I wasn't experiencing that, I let him know that. God, I'm not experiencing it. And you know what? God wasn't mad at me for that. And he healed me because I got mad at him. How many know that sometimes when you get mad at God, you don't want to give that testimony? Well, I'll tell you what, I didn't have a lot of faith, but I got a lot of anger at him. Well, that it would have been my testimony, so I didn't really just spread that out. It took years, I'm telling you now. Because I did it the wrong way, but it turned out to be the right faith. Because I had total dependence that God, who saved me, could also sanctify me and heal me and do all kinds of things. And I don't want to come short of Abraham or Isaac or Jacob or, you know, David or Elijah or whatever. I want to be even with them. I don't want you to give me less. How many here have settled for second best? Nobody's going to admit that. It's good. Because you can't have second best. God does not love one child more than another. He's not a respecter of persons. So everybody can have that. How do you get it? It's by faith. It's just, if you read it, and you just take it by faith. You don't have to see it. You don't have to see it to believe it. You don't have to feel it. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to want it. Just ask him for it. Just do it. That's it. Wow. He wrote it down. I'm just doing what he wrote down. I didn't care if it was personal. I mean, I did those two times I just told you about. But other than that, I didn't. And I just simply said it and trusted God. Let it go. Went to sleep. I didn't have to, you know, stay up all night like God does and sing over me. Says, God, you said in the Bible, you sing over us when we're sleeping. Go for it. I'm going to sleep. So I have no idea because I didn't stay awake. I don't know if he sang or not. All I know is I woke up refreshed. I still do.
Amen.
I got up at 3:30 this morning. And that's it. Never went back to bed because I got into the Word, got so excited. I mean, I don't have to stay up. I just got too excited. Went through the Greek, went through some Hebrew words and so on. It's too powerful. So I'm pumped. I'm full because I'm excited that God is a living, everyday, faithful God.
Amen.
God doesn't have faith in something, rely on something, depend on something. God himself is faithful. He's full, meaning I will say something and I will do whatever I say. If I tell you to do something, I'll do it for you. That's a promise. Ha! So every command is actually a promise. Every command in there is to Jesus, his son, who fulfills it for you. So I'm not angry. I won't admit that I'm angry. Somebody say, you just got angry. Yeah, I know. I know what I just did. But I'm not at all angry. You just got angry. I know, but I don't count that. God doesn't count it. I don't count it. So I'm a happy person. Well, why'd you just yell at so-and-so and so-and-so? I don't know, and I don't care. But I just know one thing. I'm totally happy, and everything's going my way. Ha! So, and there you have it. And I can sing without any doubt in my mind that I'm not a hypocrite. I'm just saying what he said to say, doing what he said to do. And I don't have... You can't catch me off guard. And... Well, Pastor, right there, it looks like you're really angry. Well, maybe looks like, but it's not me. I'm a new man. Did you know that if you're in Christ, you're a new creation? The old has passed away, the new has come. Well, I say those things all the time to myself. Why? Because it keeps me from thinking, you know, you're a failure, you're worthless, you're no good, you must be a jerk or whatever. People are right about you. You know, whatever they're thinking is probably correct. I don't agree with any of that. And so I always put a comma after every honest statement, and I fill it in with the truth. Did you hear what I just said? King David did this, by the way. He said, "Oh Lord, I'm the wicked are doing well, and I'm doing poorly, and so on and so forth. But hope thou in God, soul." Wow, that's powerful. And when he did that, it changed gears. Well, that's what Jesus did with the law. There's nothing wrong with the law. It's just that it was for Jesus, not for you. You were not made to keep laws. I'm going to say that again. You were not made to keep laws. That had to be replaced. So that's why he says, there is therefore now no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And then it says, for... what? The what? The what? The Spirit of life. The law of the Spirit of life. The law, but now he names it spiritual law. Totally different than a law you have to fulfill. This is a spiritual thing that God, who is a Spirit, keeps for you, in you, through you, in you, for you, through you. In other words, he'll do it for you in Christ. That's his mercy. But then he'll do it in you, which is his power, and change you so that you're actually dead to sin and you're alive to doing his will and pleasure on the earth just as he wanted, exactly as he wanted. And then he glorifies himself, because when men see your good works, they glorify the Father. That's too powerful. That's not something you can pull off. That's not something you can do. And he does it perfectly. It's perfect. The branch isn't supposed to be the source of the fruit. The branch is just the means for the source to get it through you to others so that they glorify the Father. Yeah. I don't produce fruit. I don't want to produce fruit. My fruit's no good. I've produced some raisins, I guess, but not a lot of grapes. But I like God the way he does it. Randy, God bless you. Don't forget, Jesus loves you. God wants to bless everybody here beyond measure. Not in the world to come. Now. Now. Right now. Now, here's all you have to do, because it's by faith. It's what's been happening. It doesn't matter that it hasn't. Just say it anyway. Because in God's sight, that's true. In heaven, where there's no time and space, God's not limited. And so whatever you're talking about, you're speaking like a heavenly spirit of life in Christ Jesus that sets me free from the law of sin and death. I'm not under that law anymore. I'm under another law. I'm in another kingdom. I've been transferred out, and I'm free, and I'm never going back to bondage. That's what this book is all about. So let's read it. Chapter 4. But I say, he's talking about Abraham and his seed. But I say, over so long time, the heir is an infant. How long are those that inherit an infant? They're not mature. They're not of age. They're not grown up. I mean, when is the time set by the master, by the parent, by God, when you're grown up, when you're mature? Whenever you come to faith. You are adopted the moment you come to faith. Not adopted in the eternal sense, but adopted in the sense of he makes a promise to adopt you in the future. And you will live until then. And even if you died, he'd just resurrect you anyway. Because we die daily. Not physically, but we die daily, spiritually. And therefore, when we die physically, we also just rise up. You just fall asleep and you wake up in the presence of Jesus.
Amen.
So there's no time. You don't know how long you've been asleep. When it's a deep sleep, you just wake up and there's Jesus. So how long have I been there? 4 minutes. Oh, praise the Lord. Or it could be 4,000 years. It doesn't make any difference. It's the same because you were sleeping the whole time. In other words, you were resting because you had nothing to do because you're dead. And so God has already consigned everybody to life forever. Life forever. The moment I'm born, I don't understand anything. But he's going to teach me. That's his job. He's going to teach me. And then he's going to disciple me as a believer. And then he's going to perfect me. And then he's going to marry me. And then I inherit everything he's got. And so I have no fears. I love the way God works stuff out that I would never have thought of. I love the way he does it. Because it's like, wow, I would never have thought of that. That is mean. This is what I say to God. That is mean. I would have been a much better God than you on that one. I wouldn't have waited so long. But God has his wisdom in waiting. And then later you look back and say, oh, I see now why you did it that way. That person wasn't ready yet for the blessing. And you got them ready by getting their character in line before you gave them the money that went with it.
Amen.
How many want to be millionaires right away, or billionaires, or whatever you want to be? And it doesn't work out that way. I don't know if you've learned that, Logan. Because you don't get there right away. But you know, eventually you will be a trillionaire, wherever you are. You'll be fine. But sometimes you need a little character before you get there. Well, that's his job. It's not your job to get the character. It's just yours to look at it and go, I can't do that. That is not going to work in my case. I made an effort at that the other night, and it stunk. It didn't work. I lasted for about 4 hours, and then that was it. I didn't want to be good anymore. How many get tired? You get tired of waiting on God. Well, you just have to have faith. You just have to have faith. Oh, no, don't worry about it. If you lost everything from now until eternity, you'd still get everything. In fact, he'll make up for it. You don't have to even think about it. If he says no to Jesus, like they were going to kill Jesus, his son, and the angels say, hey, I think they're about to kill your son, God. Come over here and look at this. So God looks over the balcony. Oh, yeah. Yep, they're getting him right now. But that's for Jim. That's okay. That's for David. That's for Logan. Wow. So Jesus said, no. Father, I'm not going to say my will be done. I'm going to say your will be done right here. Because it's a good thing for Cynthia. This is good for Cynthia. She's going to love this. I'm going to die her death. I'm going to make sure that the full mercy falls on her. I don't want her to have any death. I don't want her to have any death. I want her to just have life and joy unspeakable and full of glory. Well, the whole world is seeking, the whole world, everybody that's ever lived, wants happiness and well-being and peace and joy. They can't get it. Nobody has ever gotten it apart from Christ.
That's right.
You can't get it by a law. You can try your best to please people and so on and so forth. You're not going to get anything for it. People don't like you. They don't care about you. And nobody's going to help you. And God himself is not going to do a lick for you until you just say, God, I don't know anything. Just take care of everything like you said. He loves that faith thing where you have total faith, not in your faith. You have total faith, not in your faith, but in God's faithfulness to keep His promise toward you that you are the apple of my eye. It's my pleasure to give you the kingdom. If that's all true, I can't check it out. I can't check that out. I haven't seen any kingdom yet. Israel hasn't seen the land yet. It's still in the hands of all our enemies. There's no way you can look in this world and see what God is talking about. You just have to have faith. And until the kingdom comes, when kingdom comes, it's over. You'll see it. But it ain't come yet. I don't know if anybody's noticed that. The bad guys are still doing rather well during the time of the Gentiles here. They're doing really good. And you cannot displace them. We're watching daily as it looks like a battle, and we don't know if we're going to win or not. We don't know if good people are going to, you know, prevail or not. I know already. Nope. Still time of the bad guys. Bad guys are still in charge. So, well, what do I do during the time? Confess your sins? My sins? What about the bad guys? No. Confess your sins. I'm not interested in their sins. I'm interested in your sins. Oh, okay. And praise me. Praise me all the time. All the time. Amen. All the time. Praise me. And what else? Here's another thing. Bless your enemies. Pray for your enemies. Do good to your enemies. What? Well, that would be faith, wouldn't it? If I did that, that would be the death of me. I don't want to pray for them. I want them dead, finished off, and deliver me from them. And so on. He said, no. Pray for them. You're not in any trouble. You're in Christ. How can you be in trouble if you're in Christ? You're not in both. If you're in the ark, you're not in the flood. You're in a flood, but you're in an ark in a flood. You're in Christ in the troubles of this world. So you're okay. You are not in trouble. Everything's going your way. So sing. Praise God every single day. Amen? Can you do it?
Everyone.
Amen. That's good. I love it. So everything's going your way. Who would like to say everything's going my way?
Everything's going my way.
Yeah. But when you're a child, that means you're still under the law. When you're a child, that means you're still under the law. When you're a child, that means you haven't come of age. But when you get into faith, boom, you're an adult. Now you are an adult. Faith means don't look. Don't walk by sight. Walk by faith in His promise, in His word. That's it. And so say it. The first thing you can do is not pray, oh God, deliver me. Don't pray that. The first thing is, God, forgive me for all my sins. I just praise you for this situation I'm in. I thank God for it. Everything's working out just the way you planned. I have no idea what you're doing, but it doesn't look good, but I know it's good. I know it's all working out for my good. And so I'm just going to pray for my enemy right now. I'm going to bless my enemy and help him out and so on and so forth. I'm not worried. I'm not worried about a thing. I am a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. Now, how many like to testify? Pastor, I'm doing that. What you just said, I'm going to do it. I don't understand it, but I'm just
going
to do it.
I am going to do it every day.
Amen.
Every day. All things work together for the good.
Good. Were you going to raise your hand? You are? You say it. You have to say it.
I'm a new man in Christ. Everything's working
good. If you're not circumcised, you can't follow the gospel. You don't have to say it. It's just good to say it.
I'm rejoicing in His finished works, watching all things being added unto me, and it's amazing. He's amazing.
Woohoo! He's amazing.
Can I tell you one thing?
Yeah.
He gave me a musical 20 years ago, 15 years ago. He seated me on the way home from New York on Friday night to the International Musicians Union president, who, when the musical goes from city to city, it's under this man's jurisdiction to give me all the names for every single city. So I'm like, when you said tired of waiting on God, I'm not tired. I'm just watching Him say what He's going to do and do what He says.
Yoo-hoo! Amen. That's it. Who else? Who else? I don't know. Who else had their hand up? Yes. Tyson.
I'm a new man in Christ.
Woo!
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah.
That's good. Don't look. Don't try to see it. Don't try to understand it and feel it. Just say it. Just say it. Amen. That's all. That's all God wants, your mouth. Just your mouth. Praise God. Yeah. Yeah. And after a while, you won't even have to make the disclaimer. You just go, I'm a new man in Christ.
Yeah. Amen.
But at first, you have to say it because, you know, it's a little bit weird. But... because it didn't make any sense.
I had to hear you. The first thing you said today was just say God is great and say God is good. And it was so funny because I needed to hear that because I spent way too much time in my own thoughts listening to the stupid stuff.
Right.
Just say the words.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's glorious.
Hallelujah. It gives me a lot of peace in the morning when I just say, Lord, I put my trust in you.
Right.
You know, that is just such a release.
Yeah.
Of everything.
I love it, Janet. It's so simple, but it's accurate. It's so accurate. And it does work. Because there's no weight on you. You know, just suddenly you're just...
And I'll say, hey, things look awful. But hey, I'm putting my trust in you.
Amen.
I can't help anything.
A lot of people would say, you know, you're not realistic or you're not facing reality. No, everybody knows reality. Everybody knows what it looks like. Everybody, but it doesn't help anything to say a lot of that stuff. Just say it one sentence or half a sentence and then move on to the truth. That'll set you free.
God is good.
Nothing else. Don't ever give up your freedom to be God's holy child that He promises to give you everything. Not some things, not less than somebody else. He wants Cain also to be blessed. He wants everybody to be blessed. He's not a respecter of persons. You might not know this, but Cain, after he killed his brother and was, you know, booted out of the family and traveled a bit, he said, you know, God, whoever, this is not fair. You are not just. And Cain is complaining to God. And he said, you know what's going to happen? Anybody who sees me is going to kill me now because they heard about what happened and so on and so forth. So they're going to kill me. He said, no. I'll show you mercy right now. I'll put a mark on you, and no one will touch you. I guarantee it. That was merciful to a murderer. He killed his own brother.
Amen.
That's amazing. God is good. His mercy endureth forever. His power is unbelievable. Nobody can challenge it. That's the grace of God. Amen. Our God is gracious.
Hallelujah.